the rest of the story. Right after World War I, there was a popular song that asked, how are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris? I imagine 264 people utterly isolated from the 20th century on a rock in the middle of the Atlantic, suddenly whisked off to London, pampered like royalty, and exposed to all the fun they'd been missing. Well, imagine that. Somewhere in the middle of the great nowhere between the coasts of South Africa and Argentina, there is a tiny island called Tristan da Cunha, named after the Portuguese admiral who discovered it in 1506. It is a British possession. Until 1961, it was populated by a tiny colony descended from shipwrecked sailors. British soldiers and settlers of various national origins later joined them. Tristaners, as they were known, lived hard lives in stone cottages, which sheltered them from frequent rain and sometimes snow. Their island home was cold and virtually barren, outlined in jagged cliffs rising 100 feet above the sea. How remote is it? Well, it is so remote that a letter mailed to Tristan da Cunha at the turn of the century took a dozen years to get there. So remote that the First World War was almost over before the Tristaners learned it had begun. So remote that in 1958, the United States exploded a small atomic bomb just 60 miles to the south, and it took the islanders 2 years to find out about it. That's how remote was Tristan da Cunha. As I say, until 1961. For in August of that year, the sleeping volcano which had spawned the island suddenly awakened. The earth trembled 11 times over the next 2 months. Then in October, smoke and lava began belching from the depths of Tristan's dormant crater. Islanders fled their potato patches. One of them, Peter Wheeler, radioed for help, requesting medical supplies and food. And the ancient mountain continued to rumble and rage, pushing up 150 feet of lava. Soon it became apparent that it was no longer safe on Tristan da Cunha. The inhabitants would have to be evacuated. All 264 gathered at the shore, stood by their longboats awaiting rescue. Ships arrived, took them first to neighboring Nightingale Island, then to South Africa, and finally to England. Well, at once the British Colonial Office prepared to integrate the orphaned Tristaners into the modern world. At government expense, they were given food and clothing and housing and furniture. They were welcomed wholeheartedly, treated graciously, almost royally. But guess what? Once they learned that the lava had stopped flowing back on Tristan da Cunha, they politely, though emphatically, requested permission to return. And by the bewildered British Colonial Office, permission was granted. No offense, one of them said, but if she ever blows again, we're staying. And thus were the inhabitants of Tristan da Cunha refugees twice. Once from the primitive forces of nature, and the second time from the noisy, scary, smelly, perplexing, tempestuous 20th century. The Tristaners are there to this day. It may be a volcano dot on the vast Atlantic expanse, but there is no place like home. Now you know the rest of the story.